This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 674. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by guest host extraordinaire, Miss Patty Neff Tiven.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, everybody, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't leave that dial.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Leave today. Pray the Greyhound isn't full. Who knew asking out a girl to the prom would go over just like an atom bomb and make things much worse with your dad and mom? And who'd have ever thought that could be possible?
It is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. On the show today, we have The Vortex and the Tales of a Blurred Ballerina. And then later we'll be talking to Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare in their production of Love's Labor's Lost. And of course, we'll have the world of theater around Austin, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, and Miami, Florida. Don't go away.
This is a civil rights issue. This is a big deal, Emma.
Oh, sorry.
We'll get through it.
Okay, Atlanta. Miami, Florida. Get right up on that microphone, Patty Neff Tiven.
Oh, well, welcome. I'm ready to talk.
I'm so happy to have you as my co-host.
I'm here.
Well, no, the proper answer is I'm happy to be here too, Lisa.
I'm happy to be with Lisa.
Oh my gosh. Well, my headphones are not working, so it's going to be very strange for me and knowing. So hopefully my levels are good. For those that don't know, Patty Neff Tiven is co-artistic director over at Ground Floor Theater, a very good friend of mine. And Nicole is out in New York celebrating a milestone birthday. And I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
Yeah, milestone birthday. She doesn't look 70, does she?
I thought she was going to be 21 finally.
Finally. Well, that's a milestone birthday. And here with us in our studio audience is the incomparable Valenicia Tolbert. Hi,
yay.
Valenicia. How
howdy,
are you?
Howdy, howdy.
I gotta say that without headphones, I can't tell whether I can hear you. So say something.
Hello, oh, my name is Valenicia. I'm right here. Yes.
I can look at the level. So that's good. So welcome. So we're gonna talk about the world of theater. Y'all ready to go?
I guess.
Yes, you'll do great.
We'll see what happens.
First of all, we have a couple of deaths that just happened.
Oh, yay. Way to start off.
Yeah, well, we always do. We start don't laugh or don't criticize. You know, both of these people lived long lives, so it's not like it was sudden. But one is Maureen Arthur, who is best known. She was in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Oh my God, I totally forgot the role that she played. It's not written in here, but she was very well known on television. She did two Broadway shows. She played Hetty in How to Succeed in Business. Yeah. And for those of you keeping score, when I opened my first theater, Play Theater Group, we were going to renovate the building I had, and we were going to open with How to Succeed in Business, which we didn't do because we didn't renovate the play. But not only did Broadway, but she did a lot of television. So when I went through the things that she did on television, I can't get my computer to, there it goes. She did a lot of shows that I just totally grew up with. We'll just see whether you guys are just slightly younger than I am. See if you recognize any of these shows.
Uh-oh.
Perry Mason.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Grandma's favorite.
Bachelor Father.
What?
I don't remember that one. But then the ones that I knew of a lot. Get Smart, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, The Monkees, The Flying Nun.
Oh, The
Monkees.
I love The Monkees. And of course, on my Pandora playlist, we hear The Monkees a lot. Gomer Pyle, USMC, Love American Style.
These are all on Nick at Night.
Wait, do you not know Love American Style?
I've never seen it. I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
It was a Nick at Night too. Yeah. Okay. I was a Nick at Night baby. I wouldn't go to sleep, so I'd be
love
watching Gomer Pyle.
Great. Yeah, it followed the hijinks on a cruise ship. And then it says one of the lighter segments of the Night Gallery, which I also loved.
Night Gallery.
Yes. But she was also on the new Dick Van Dyke Show, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy.
Okay, that's my era.
Highway to Heaven, Matlock, and Too Close for Home.
Michael Landon.
See, those are the ones that I didn't know. And then, I mean, before I got here and after I'd already written up the show, I checked the New York Times, and just like within the past hour or two, I learned that James Rado, who's the co-creator of Hair, passed away. He was 90 years old. Oh, I should say that Maureen Arthur was 88.
Wow. Those are good long lives.
Yeah, good long lives.
Yeah. I did Hair in college.
You did Hair
too.
In college.
At St. Edwards.
It's Southwest. I'm sorry, Texas State.
Southwest Texas State.
It's Southwest Texas.
That's why I always say North Texas State University, even though it's the University of North Texas. So I age myself. I did see the original production of Hair, The Road Show.
Amazing.
In 69, I think.
How is that even possible?
I
was 11 years old.
We're both doing math in our head over here.
I'm 63, okay? But Jerome Ragnini, or James Rado created it with Jerome Ragnini and Galt McDermott. And I don't remember this show, but my roommate in New York worked as a stage manager on a Hair. What do they do the second part? What do they say when they? The next part of there's a word that
a
I've
sequel?
Just lost. A sequel. Thank you.
Okay.
There was a Hair God. Sequel.
See, did I mention I was 63? This is what happens to your brain. He worked on it like a sequel, but didn't it did not survive very much at all. But that was interesting. So I should say. So Nicole Shiro has been trying to call in, but nobody could talk to her because none of us have headphones on. So Nicole, if you're listening in, stop calling in because we can't get you.
Jazz hands.
jazz hands in for Nicole. Now I can't figure out how to operate my computer. I've gone computer, and so I used to bring pieces of paper in, but I don't anymore, and I can't figure out how to get the next thing.
See?
So I'm just going to get this next thing up that we have. But I should say that we did have a couple of closings. Hangman and Girl from North Country closed. They were scheduled to close. But what wasn't scheduled to close and just announced its closing was the revival of Company, which won like a zillion Tonys. It's going to close on July 1st.
Oh, wow. That's quick.
It was the... And these are the words of Michael Paulson of the New York Times. It is the winningest musical of the Tony Awards. So it won for, I know it won for Best Revival, Musical Revival, Best Scenic Design, Best Featured Actor in Matt Doyle, Best Featured Actress in Patti LuPone, which by the way, I don't say actor and actress anymore. I do not gender that they're all actors. Mm-hmm. And then the Best Director for Marion Elliott. If you're listening to this show, you know this was the gender bent version. This is where Bobby is played by a woman, which was Katrina Link, who I've got a humongous crush on. But she universally did not get good reviews in this production.
Really?
So that's unfortunate. Yeah, I wouldn't lie to you.
I suppose.
Although Rashida Scott was amazing.
You didn't
amazing.
Know that, Nicole. I mean, Nicole Shiro, Patty Neftivin, because you listen to this show every week and we talk about it a lot.
I don't know Company or any of these shows. I should
you
listen
don't know
to this
Company?
Show. I know of it. I've never, yeah. Well, I'm not very, very well versed in musicals.
It's all right. Nobody's perfect.
I know. Except for Andrew Lloyd Webber, which is actually a strike against me.
Yeah, exactly. I would not be so proud of that if I were you. Although there is, speaking of Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, he had his new version of Cinderella that he opened on the West End. And there are like 7,000 different productions of Cinderella coming out, which is, I don't understand why that's happening. It's really happening all over the place right now.
Yeah, do we need that? Really?
Yeah, I was like, why is this a thing right now?
Well, they're different versions, but it's even happening here in our little town. Because, you know, what's that theater here? Zach Theater is doing a production.
Oh, that's right.
In their next season, which and we haven't talked about it on the show. We should go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
It is a bilingual version in both English and American Sign Language.
Yeah.
It is going to be starring one Sandra Mae Frank, and they're doing it in conjunction, hopefully as a co-production, but I don't know how they're billing it, with Deaf Austin Theater.
Yay, Deaf Austin.
There's rumors that our dear friend Brian Cheslick will be co-directing along with Dave Stakely.
Jazz hands.
Anyway, the company started previews on March 2nd, 2020. And then, of course, 10 days later, they had to close because of the pandemic. And they resumed previews on November 15th, 2021. So what is that? That's a year and a half, 2 years later.
And already closing? Seems short.
Yeah, it did not do very well. Sondheim was there, and of course, we lost Sondheim shortly after that opened. He really, really liked it. It opened finally on December 9th. It paid for it. It will have played for 300 performances where it closed. But
I have heard nothing but great things about the show from people who've gone to see it. That's all I've heard. People are just blown away by it.
Well, I've heard mixed. I mean, I forgot who was on last week already that saw it and agreed that Katrina Link could have been a little bit better. But I just love her so much. I do think that they missed the boat in some instances, whereas they could have made one of the three suitors in this case were men, but I think they could have made two men and a woman as suitors. Mm-hmm. They could have like opened it up a little bit as well. So, do y'all know the review Ain't Misbehavin'?
I know the show, but I haven't.
That's the show.
Yeah,
that is it. It's a review. Yeah, there's no narrative. It's just the songs of Fats Waller. And it's opened in 79, I think, originally with what's his name? He was in Hadestown. Her name? What's wrong with me? I have them written in here, but I'll come up with it. Yeah. Kills me that my head cannot remember the things that, but it's in here. I just didn't. Anyway, there's a revival that's happening at Barrington Stage Company in Vermont. It's closing on July 9th, but there was a review in the New York Times written by Jesse Green. And this was
Jesse Green.
We really like Jesse Green.
Okay. You like Jesse Green?
Mm-hmm.
You do. Okay, I'm warming to him. I think they could have chosen a different critic when they replaced what's his name, but they didn't. But anyway, the show is written by Richard Maltby Jr. and it had a really a kind of an uplifting kind of feel to it. And this time they took a little bit of the darker side of the show and made it a little. And there's the one song, I believe it's called Black and Blue, which was the one kind of heartfelt, poignant kind of song. And this time in this production really takes a turn for the darker. And it looks beautiful. One of the things he writes in the review, quote, "If Maltby's brilliant original production favored a perfect coat of Broadway gloss, the Barrington version, which he approved, looks for cracks in the show's composure," which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's instead of just saying life has been all rosy, that's not been easy, and it continues to not be easy. If I don't come up, Andre DeShields.
Thank you. I couldn't. I would that one I was trying to remember too.
Oh my God! And Nell Carter.
That's right.
Yeah. So I used to listen to that album all the time. I still have it on vinyl.
Like, fun fact, I saw it in Austin as a child when with Pro Arts.
Pro Arts Collective.
Fantastic. The Pro Arts Collective.
Do you remember who was in it? Jackie Cross.
Jackie was in it. I think I had a cousin in it, Douglas.
Cousin Douglas, yes, I remember that.
I want to say Boyd was in that one, but other than I was about nine.
Yeah.
Came, it was just one of the first times, and I was like, wow.
Valnicia is talking about Boyd Vance, who created Pro Arts Collective and died way too young. And the Carver's Theater is named after him. And then Pro Arts Collective did not survive very well after he left. And that was the precursor of Spectrum, which hopefully will continue to exist at the very least. But that's cool. I did not. I only met Boyd once. He died shortly after I moved here. But I did not. I did not know that he was a singer. He must have been.
I mean, he could do anything. I mean, his dancing was phenomenal. I just used to love to watch him tap when I was younger.
Amazing.
When I thought I was going to be the next Gregory Hines.
Yes. You could still be the next Gregory Hines if you wanted to.
Thank you. Yes, I can.
Absolutely.
Yes, I can.
Absolutely. I thought this was interesting. Chicago has got four brand new musicals that they are bringing out. One of those musicals called Skates, which closed last Sunday. Mostly negative reviews, so it's probably not going to live on. But other shows, a show called Life After at the Goodman Theater, it opens tonight. It came from outer space at Chicago Shakespeare Festival. So it's that sounds like it's right up your alley.
That sounds fun. Yeah,
came from outer space really musical.
Yes, please.
And then, of course, The Devil's Wears Prada, which has been talking about, which is going to be Broadway in Chicago. Life After has music and lyrics by Britta Johnson. And it stars Broadway performers Samantha Williams and Paul Alexander Nolan. And it started out in the Toronto Film Festival in 2016. And then it had a U.S. premiere at the Old Globe Theater. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of dark. It's about a 16-year-old girl coping with the death of her father. And they call it a cross between Fun Home and Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, okay.
I'd be here for that.
Yeah, it sounds like something the Ground Floor Theater would produce.
It does exactly. Exactly.
Come into Ground Floor Theater.
Oh, and you know what I didn't say? I'm going to sort of backtrack a little bit. The song that we heard at the top of the show was called Just Breathe, and it was from The Prom. And one of the things that all the songs, the interstitial songs were happening are basically gay musicals in honor of Pride. But also there is a, and let's see if I can pull this up on my computer, if I can find it, a sing-along of queer musicals happening, I think, this week, next week. Sing-along concert. It's going to have Hedwig and the Angry Inch,
Yay.
Head Over Heels, The Prom, and Taboo, amongst others. And that's going to happen, I think, on the 24th, which is this weekend. And then the 25th is Broadway Pride Day. That's the sing-along is on the 25th. And I should say that during this Pride celebration, and it's in here as well, the Austin Artists Project, which we co-produced with them a show called Sing Out last June, performed that show this coming June, or last weekend, last Saturday night at Lincoln Center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. And our own, most everybody there was not an Austin artist, but our very own Rocky Lane, who is a lovely man and someone I've known quite a long time, operated as MC out there at Lincoln Center. Do you know Rocky, Val?
I don't.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh, wow.
And a lovely man at all the same. So we should say that. But I mentioned that because the song played was The Prom, but the song we're going to go out at the end of this little section is something I wanted to talk about. And it is from a show that I completely forgot about called Taboo, which was about Boy George and starred Boy George.
Really?
Yes.
I never heard about this.
That's why.
Yeah, it was like...
I know this name for some reason. That's right.
You know Boy George?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was about to say, well, yeah. Now I can't get my darn computers.
Okay, this is why I have a notebook.
Oh, don't.
I know. Sorry. I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to encourage the
no,
paper.
Well, see, I used to, we'll go off on a small tangent. I used to print out everything.
I know.
And it's just such a waste of paper. I'm trying to do this better.
And that's how I feel about my stage management books. I have now gone to the technological route.
Yeah, well, I can't do that. We'll have a big conversation on the show one day about that, about people
that
want to do that. It's, yeah. They don't do that so much anymore. I can't find it on my... Oh, there it is, Taboo. So Taboo was written by... The production was done by George Bush, or it was rewritten for Broadway by Charles Bush.
Charles Bush, that's better.
What'd I say?
George Bush.
Oh, I did? Oh, my gosh. No. Charles Bush. Lyrics are by Boy George. Music was by Boy George and John Timmis, Richie Stevens, and Kirvin Frost. And it had a narrative. It was set in an abandoned London warehouse. It did not do very well, but it ran for 100 performances on Broadway. It started in the West End in 2002. There has been a London revival in 2012. So I had totally forgotten about it.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed. That's so fun.
See, this is why you listen to Offstage and On the Air.
That's why I should listen to Offstage.
We got to stop. Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else that I wanted to talk about before we go. Go on to offstageonair.com and check out the things that we didn't get to talk about, one of which was the Cheetah Rivera Awards for Dance that just happened. And I do want to say this. I'll do this for Miss Nicole Shiro. Matilda is coming out as a movie, and there's a trailer, and I just wanted to play this, and hopefully, Nicole, you're listening. So let's listen to this trailer real quick, like just about a minute.
This school is full of rebels.
You!
What is your name?
Matilda. Matilda Wormwood.
So have either of you seen Matilda in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I saw it on Broadway and at Zachary Scott.
You did? Okay. Mm. And do you like the show?
I actually love the show. I surprisingly love the show, but I also love the book and I love the movie in my childhood.
Yeah. What about you, Patty?
I know nothing about it.
Yeah. I saw the Broadway tour and I so wanted to like it. I really did because the music is kind of fun. Not crazy about it. And then, of course, I did review it for one of the high schools that did it. Yeah, I know exactly.
I was like, oh.
Actually, two different high schools did it last season. There were some really good things about it, about that production, but I just decided that I don't like the show all that much. But this, the movie, the trailer makes it look pretty interesting.
It sounded really dark in that very
it's
beginning.
It's a dark
there.
Show.
Like,
I know. Yeah. I was watching your face in the beginning. You're going, what are we listening to?
I felt like it was like the Winnie the new Winnie the Pooh movie coming out where it's actually a horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, let's take a little break. We're going to listen to Sexual Confusion from Taboo, and then we'll come back and talk about The Confessions of a Blurred Ballerina. We'll be back. And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Patty Neftiven.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have the incomparable, twice I called you incomparable, Valenicia Tolbert.
Right.
How are you, Valenicia?
I'm doing amazing now. I feel like I'm living right. I just got something.
You are.
A little scorecard there.
Well, you are here because we are talking about... Tales of a Blurred Ballerina,
yes.
Which is your solo piece that you've been developing for since pre-pandemic.
Actually, into the pandemic.
That's what I said, since pre-pandemic.
Yeah, it feels weird to think about that for a couple of years there.
Yeah, so you did a workshop of this at Vortex about a year ago, I'd say.
About a year ago, we did the magical workshop, and we were hoping to do the show in January, but life changed.
Yep. We had a little thing called Omicron.
Little something.
Omicron. Always had an N.
You know, everything happens as it's supposed to sometimes, because I feel like the place that we are in right now, where I am emotionally, where the show can travel emotionally, it's a different show, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to share.
So now we had you on prior to that workshop, and now we have you on again. So refresh listeners' memory about what this show is.
Wonderful. Tales of a Blurred Ballerina. The tagline, if you will, is because my love of Pearl Jam doesn't ease my struggle. really, it's really about how we as women, we as Black women, we as queer women, we as people who aren't what everyone says we should be, if you will, fit into the world. And quite often we are made to feel as a blurred, I'm a Black nerd, are made to feel like you're outside of this realm of Blackness, when really we are right in there. You know, rock music created by African Americans, you know.
Or stolen from.
Yeah. So it's all these things of, you know, growing up and loving different music types, and you're told you have to conform, you know, go into respectability politics, go into, you know, all these things, and you try to fit. But what happens when you try to fit into this box that you're not really made for? And why are we doing it? Why are we making ourselves fit into a box that we're not made for? The creativity is still there, the beauty, the spunk, all these things that add to the world. So it's just about, you know, finally just reclaiming who you are, and also being very aware of those very awkward moments you had when you were young and trying to live in the world. What does that look like? What does that look like? And in this case, hopefully hilarious, but there's some really great moments where you just talk about clarity and the need for clarity in our own little minds.
Sure. And with regards to the title, you sort of explained the blurred part. Will we be seeing ballet in this?
You will. I grew up in a dance studio, and also being as a Black woman, my body not necessarily fitting into that
idea.
Right,
you're not like super skinny stick figure.
You know,
of
like
a ballet,
tuck your butt. You're
dancing.
Like, my butt doesn't tuck. That's what it. That's tucked. That's his.
That's as
small as it's gonna get, right? So it's those ideas of like, what does a dancer look like? You know, is a dance just a thing that you physically have? Like I talk about it in the show, like, you know, wide, rough feet, you know, shallow turnout, things of that nature that are me, that are, you know, are, I still feel like a dancer. Right. I still do it. You know,
and we actually just saw that in real life, and when Misty Copeland took over a New York City Ballet, or was part of New York City Ballet.
Right, New York City, yeah.
Yeah, and she talked about those very things, because her body does not conform to a typical
Right,
ballerinas.
And it's wild. I'm like, if your body doesn't conform, then my definitely doesn't.
Right. He's like, oh, man. Because it kind of conforms.
Yeah,
but
her
still.
Muscle is considered like, oh, my gosh, she's so muscular. And I'm like, well, every ballet dancer is muscular. You just... I'm confused. Yeah. It's all a part of that. And even the idea of, you know, when you were in dance, it's the light, you know, I'm light and delicate and all these things. And as delicate and light as I think I am, I'm also very aware that I'm, you know, kind of a bro dude in a woman's body.
Well, and you don't, and it breaks the stereotypes of a female ballet dancer because they are meant to be, you know, they're very, you know. They even if you look at all the classical ballets, it's all very smooth movements, and they are meant to be delicate.
Right.
And
double zero, very small.
Yeah, don't need that.
Be thrown into the world.
So this is, this show is self, it's a biographical, autobiographical
it is,
in
it
many
is,
ways.
Yes, it is one that I wrote just based on life experiences. Some that I'm sure my family's like, shh, no, we don't have to talk about that. But others, it's also a view of joy, because I talk about quite often, you know, the women in my life that really helped form who I am, and that's my mother and my grandmother, and
realizing in my great grandmother, realizing how often they come up. Those are the voices in your head that come up. And that's, you know, the good and the bad, right? Your parents are always trying to like help you. And in some cases it's like, oh, well, I would have done that differently. In other cases, it's such great information that you should have taken when you were young, but you didn't get it. You know, and now as an older woman, you get it. Or you watch the transformation of your parents and how they're in their head now, like, you know what? I think you should do exactly what you want to do. This is a great idea. Let's grow together. Me and my grandmother had a lot of fun like that. We had really beautiful conversations, and we were both very blunt and pointed. We have the exact same voice. So it was also very interesting, like having a three-way conversation with my mom on the phone and having her not realize who's
physical
talking.
Voice, the sound of your voice.
The sound of our voice was the same. My mother has this really low, wonderful voice, even though whenever I talk about her, I always do this voice, but that's not her voice.
All the really cool women have very low voices. I just want to say that.
I agree.
That's what they say.
So what was it, I'm going to guess 3 years or so ago, that you decided that you wanted to bare your soul on stage?
Funny enough, I was asked to co-write a piece for Performance Platform Austin with Sarah Saltwick.
Yep.
And I've always loved her voice. I've always loved how, you know, her writing. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. And the more we started talking about the piece, the more she was like, I think you need to write your own piece. And she was like, it's a very specific voice that you want to have. I think you should write your own piece. And I was like, I don't know what that looks like. She's like, I'll help you. So Performance Platform was the first group that worked with me in the first version of this. And we had a workshop in Sarah Saltwick's backyard and had a Zoom opening because Florinda couldn't come. So it's like, oh, let's
Florinda
go ahead.
Florinda Bryant,
who is my
piece.
Magnificent director. And I knew I wanted her for my director. I was going to kind of stalk her until she said yes. I was like, let's Zoom it. Yeah, I was like, let's Zoom and have you on here. So we did it in our backyard and had a great time, invited Bonnie of the Vortex.
Bonnie Cullum.
We had a very small group because, you know, it was like about 10, 12 people. India Wilmot. We had some really wonderful voices in the room getting to watch the show and give feedback, and along with the women of Performance Platform. And then Bonnie's like, so I'm going to do the show, right? And I was like, going to do that. And then, you know, we just started creating more and having a bit more fun with Florinda Bryant and myself. As far as she's my dramaturg as well. We were able to start working. Bonnie helped us secure a bridge grant for new playwrights of color with the National New Play Network. So that was amazing, getting to like be in a Zoom room. Oh, can't say in a room, but in a Zoom room full of all of this black, brown, queer talent, and getting
Fantastic.
To throw these different ideas back and forth. And then Austin Script Works was also like, hey, we'll help, you know, fund your dramaturgy, which was great. Awesome. And then finally Performance Platform of Austin, Six Square Austin, the Black Culture Arts District. They're the ones who are providing the grant for us
for
to
this
do
particular
the work
one.
At
yeah.
the Vortex right now. So it's been really a really amazing event of love, and also I understand how rare it is that a person can be funded during the creation of their show.
Sure.
I am highly aware that that's not the regular, and I'm very blessed for that. So I just wanted to make sure of mentioning all the people because I know the blessing that it is.
Absolutely. We should say that Florinda Bryant was going to be on the show with us today, but unfortunately she's feeling a little under the weather. We don't go into enclosed rooms anymore if we're not feeling well. So
that is absolutely
our
true.
Love and heart goes out to Flo.
Hi, Flo.
And I'm sorry you're not here, but hopefully she's listening.
We miss your face.
So, yes. I've never written anything autobiographical about myself over a period of the amount of time that you've been working. I'm going to guess through that process and putting this show together, there were things that you've learned about yourself that you were not necessarily consciously aware of.
Yes.
Are any of those things that you would want to share with our audience right this very second?
No.
No.
Yes. I realized that, you know, you talk about bullies in your show, right? And the different pieces of life that you have. And you realize how you sometimes carry those same behaviors, or you allow some of the same behaviors in your adult life. And it was me realizing the level that I hadn't created boundaries for people. And in an effort to make other people comfortable, quite often was incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Mm. And I had to start acknowledging that and started to really create boundaries. And that's definitely changed some of my relationships. And I feel like in a lot of ways it made it better, because you were actually giving someone the real opportunity to know who you really are versus, you know, the overly polite, overly like, okay, version. And in some cases, yeah, those relationships unraveled and are becoming something new, or you just realize, okay, this is an unhealthy situation. But it was definitely a growth opportunity, definitely one of those wonderful spurs of like, oh, okay, let's talk about this with our therapist kind of idea. But also it's like a blueprint that I can just hand my therapist and like, read that.
There you go.
Read that. Let's have this conversation.
So the workshop you did a year ago was obviously a workshop. And mm-hmm. I remember I saw it. You were working with script in hand. Mm-hmm. Is this a more polished production version of it? And how different is it from how much did it change from workshop to this performance?
There are a couple of new pieces, definitely more dance. There's a lot more application of, well, comic book jargon, just because this is the world that I live in, but also
who doesn't,
you know, but also a lot of the, you know, I definitely have more of a hold with Nightcrawler and Mystique. They're ingrained in my show quite a bit because of their similarities in life of both, you know, both blue, both, but both have very different ideas of what that means. And one is trying to hide who they are and the other is like, sorry, I almost did the thing.
You almost said it.
I almost said it. But the other was like, no, why, you know, I could hide, but why should I? And that's actually one of her quotes. She always says that. I could hide, but why should I?
These are characters.
Right. Marvel characters. They're Marvel characters.
Oh, so these are Marvel
characters. They're Marvel comic book characters.
Okay.
Sorry, these are comic book characters that I've always related to quite a bit in life. And a Nightcrawler is the person who always was trying to pretend like they weren't who they were. In fact, Xavier had this whole little, in one of the worlds, he has like a little disguise, like a button pretty mm-hmm. much that like makes people think they're seeing, you know, a pink person walking around when really
right
he's
now.
Blue.
Like, that button.
There you go. Within his little, you know, his little hooven with his little tail. He's so cute. But, That's part of it. It's like, who are you? What, you know, can you just be your natural self, or are you trying to hide who you are?
So this is the blurred section.
This is the blurred section. Yeah. Yes.
Love it.
So it was a lot of fun just being able to play a lot with that and incorporate dance into those ideas and just really to take a harder look in some cases of, Have you also been the person who was minimizing someone else's self? Were you the person who was willing to squelch someone else's individuality in order to fit in? So we also had to take, or I also had to take some looks at myself about when I failed.
Sure.
And I think that's the important thing, is we like to pretend like we're always, I was always great. Well, no, sometimes you're the jerk face, and you have to, in a piece, I think if you're going to say it's a, you know, autobiographical piece, you have to be willing to also talk about
the stuff that you're maybe not so
the
proud
gross
of.
Stuff that
sure.
you're not yeah that you're not happy about. Yeah,
makes total sense. Is there anybody else on the creative team that you want to call out?
And, yes, yeah. I have such an amazing team. We have Ia Estara, who created the set design, who I've always wanted to work with. Chelis Rhines, who's doing the light design. We have Aaron Flynn, one of my favorite costume designers.
He's amazing.
In town. Oh. Ugh, I'm so excited. Alexander Madison Porter created, if you've seen the version of Little Val, mm-hmm. my cartoon alter ego, created by Madison Porter, actually amazing poster created in conjunction with Melissa Vogt, with between the two of them, Florinda Bryant being on the team, of course, Courtney D'Angelo, the stage manager. We also have Khalid Broadway, who is co-doing the choreography with
co-doing.
Me.
Co-doing, is that a technical term?
Co-doing, yes, that's the new, that's what it's called now, Lisa. And of course, Johan Solo, who is creating the beats under, and if... Johan is, I feel like, very underutilized and very he pretty much creates the music for most of the music you hear at the Vortex.
Wonderful. Oh, tell me when you open and how long you play.
We open July 8th and we run through July 23rd.
Wonderful. And if people want to get more information about this amazing show, where do they go?
You can get more information at vortexrep.org. Vortexrep.org.
Awesome.
There we go.
And then just quickly before we leave, I know that you're going to perform this piece, mm-hmm. and then you have some life changes that are happening shortly after that, correct?
Yes. July 23rd, we close, and August 5th, I am driving away to magical Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, the theater community here in Austin's loss to lose you. Mm-hmm. But I'm always it's bittersweet. I'm very happy when people move on to different markets, and in theory, continually moving up and perfecting their craft. So, Valenicia Tolbert, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Have a great run. I plan to be there myself at some point.
Yes, yes.
I'll be taking notes.
Oh, of course you will. Of course you will. No, thank you for having me and always just so much fun.
Always come back have and visit fun. Us. Lots.
Well, great. So we're going to take another little break. We're going to go, you know, I always try to find things that are interesting to play that relate to what we were talking about. This was, it was harder to find, but this piece of music is African. It's from King Kong, the All African Jazz Opera. From 1959. This is called Strange Things Happen.
Strange Things Happen.
So now you have to tell me about this King Kong.
Yeah.
What is
so,
this?
Well, I had never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I try to choose music, I usually put in to iTunes, I'll put in this case, I put in Ballerina original cast. Thought there'd be something around Ballerina, but there wasn't. Hmm. And I didn't want to go to At the Ballet from
right,
Chorus obvious. Line. Mm-hmm. So I just started looking around. I put in African jazz because that's in the, when they talk about putting together the Blurred Ballerina, it deals with African jazz. And this came up, King Kong, the African jazz musical. And it's not about the ape, King Kong. It's about a South African fighter who was known as King Kong. This show, so it's the life and times of the heavyweight boxer Ezekiel Dlamini. And he was known as King Kong. He was born in 1921, 4 years before my father. This was a huge, and it dealt with, this was during apartheid South mm-hmm. Africa, and it was a cooperative between white South Africans and black South Africans.
Oh, wow.
Which just was not done back mm-hmm. then. It had record-breaking multiracial audiences. It did a production in London in 1961, but just everything about it seemed pretty amazing. But I want to read this description. This is from Wikipedia. King Kong had an all-black cast. Bear in mind, this is 1959. An all-black cast. The musical portrayed the life and times of heavyweight boxer Ezekiel Dlamini, known as King Kong. Born in 1921, his life degenerated after a meteoric boxing rise into drunkenness and gang violence. He knifed his girlfriend, asked for the death sentence during his trial, and instead was sentenced to 14 years of hard labor. He was found drowned in 1957, and it was believed to be his death was a suicide. He was 36 years old.
Oh,
what
wow.
a tragic story.
That
so,
is tragic.
So when I hear this, I go, my God, that's going to be a great ground floor theater show.
The ultimate ground floor musical.
But the music is really beautiful, as you heard. So
yeah.
Wow. It's always amazing when I surprise myself and see things that I had never heard of before.
Yeah, half the songs you play are surprises to me because I know nothing. So.
Well, you don't know nothing.
I know quite a bit of nothing.
Speaking of 60s television, I know nothing was what Sergeant Schultz said on Hogan's Heroes all the time.
That one I know.
So this is the section where we talk. Oh, and we just have a few, minutes. We talk about our local stuff. And since we don't have a whole bunch of time, I'm going to blast through. The Mikado, which we've been talking about a lot, the majority of, I think they only got one performance.
Opening night.
And then they had to close. They closed the second week because of COVID. So that's very, very sad. And I know I can't pronounce this very well, but City Theater is just about to open Picasso at the Lapine Agile. Lapine Agile by Steve Martin, which I've everybody that seen this show loves it. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Well, we did things like that at St. Ed's when I was
This show is relatively new. Yeah, it's Steve Martin, and he wrote
it. Yeah, no, this was we did it in college.
So. Oh, you did?
It's been
okay.
around.
I thought it was in the after 2010.
No, it was okay. I was in the 90s then.
Anyway, City Theater is doing it at the Trinity Street Playhouse. You can get more information at citytheateraustin.org. And of course, Hyde Park is doing Running Bear, the yes. Raul Garza. Last night, I was at the Plays for Ukraine event that happened at Hyde Park, which was really great. Four shows written by Ukrainian playwrights after the attack. Mm-hmm. So these are all very contemporary, and this was this was Penfold, Whirligig, Hyde Park, and
can't help you.
I'm going to come up with it. Four production companies that got together to do that. And it was really wonderful, but they performed on the set of Running Bear that was designed by Mark Pickell. And it's really beautiful. It's a bridge. Very well designed, very, very pretty set. So with that, I'm going to run right to... you know what? Let me see if I want to do this. Yeah, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to run right into the... Interview with Young Shakespeare. This is If You Were Gay from Avenue Q.
If You Were Gay.
Very excited with some folks from Young Shakespeare and their current production of Love's Labor's Lost by up-and-coming playwright William Shakespeare. And we're lucky enough to have the co-director, Nancy Owens. Hi, Nancy. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Hello. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
And two of the Young Shakespeare cast. We have Steely Schmidt. Hi, Steely.
Hi.
And Jago Mystic.
Hello.
Well, I'm so happy to have you guys on. Here's the silly thing. Love's Labor's Lost is not one of the Shakespeare plays that's done quite often. And quite frankly, I've never seen it or read it. So for my sake, why don't you tell me a little bit about what this show is?
Would love to. It is an early Shakespeare comedy. It is a romantic comedy.
An ESC, we like to call those.
Oh, very, very high level. Thank you so much. An ESC, early
I'm
Shakespeare
here to help.
Comedy. Thank you so much. Yes. And it is like pre-Romeo and Juliet, pre-Much Ado About Nothing, but it has a lot of those elements. We're talking about love gone wrong. We've got the classic Shakespeare comedy stuff, right? Like the miscommunications, letters being given to the wrong person, disguises, mistaken identity. You've got singing.
Cross-dressing?
Kind of. I would say disguising. That is a theme he brings up a lot later.
A lot.
In many of his plays. So this is going to be a lot of the same recognizable themes that everyone loves about Shakespeare romantic comedies.
That is great. And as this isn't the one with Sir Toby Belch, is it?
That or is Twelfth Night, but there are definitely feelings of Twelfth Night in this one, meaning lots of music and dancing and beautiful language. This is a story, Lisa, about four young men who swear off food, drink, and sleep and women in order to be better scholars. Lo and behold, guess who shows up to their little court? Four beautiful women.
Four beautiful women, of course.
Weird. And so then they are in this situation where they fall in love and they have to somehow make connection with these women. And we get to watch them struggle and fuss. And we'll see what kind of mayhem ensues.
Struggle and Fuss is the name of the comedy group I used to be in.
I saw you guys. You were great. It was actually a really funny group. Yeah, Struggle and Fuss. That's another Shakespeare term, academic excellent. Term.
Jago, tell us about the role you're playing.
So I'm playing Boyette, who is... So the four ladies that show up, they're from France because the Princess of France is like there on a diplomatic errand. And I'm like her butler. As well as chaperone and stuff.
Cool. And Steely, who are you playing?
I play Longaville, one of the four men who swears off all these things.
Well, that's cool. So have either of you been in a young Shakespeare production before?
I have not.
Yeah. I have. I was in Much Ado About Nothing last year.
That's the story of my life, by the way. and Steely, this is your first time.
It certainly is.
Well, I'm going to just ask you then, Steely, what do you love doing this work? Are you enjoying being a young Shakespeare performer?
Oh, for sure. I never thought really that I'd be doing Shakespeare, but I really love the process, it turns out, and everything about it is just so cool. Like the performing space is cool. The people, the community in it is really nice and welcoming.
Cool. And Jago, this is your second?
Yeah, second my year doing Shakespeare with Young Austin Shakespeare.
Cool. And Steely, you had mentioned the performing space. Why don't you tell folks about that performing space?
So the Curtain Theater is a 3/4 theater. I don't really know how else to describe it.
3/4 round.
3/4 round, yes. So you can see it from almost all sides.
And it's outdoors, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Which really adds to on top of how you can see on almost every side.
Yeah, it's cool. And Jago, this is your second time to performing out there. And we should say this is out at Richard Jarriott's property, and the Curtain Theater is a replica of the Globe, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it has that fabulous like thrust stage. The actors are really intimate right there in your lap, and you can actually sit on a second level like they did at the Globe. Or they still do at the Globe. I mean, the Globe is there. It's doing its thing. And so you can climb these steps and you get to the top. And I did that last night. I sat at the second level looking down on the stage, and it's just wonderful. There was a breeze and you're almost in the trees. And
are you allowed to throw fruit like the groundlings did?
Throw fruit and bear baiting. You could get some bear wrestling in the corner.
You do.
Get all of your bedding going. But it is. It actually is a really romantic and inspiring little location. They are right on Lake Travis. The water is right next to us.
It's right there. It's actually.
We have some party boats that go by, so we'll be doing our Shakespeare thing, and we'll have a little boat come by and wave at us, and we'll wave back.
That's quite fun. Steely and Jago, y'all have a very, very short little scene that we've talked about. Perhaps you doing here for us the radio. Are y'all up for that?
Of course.
Good. Does anybody want to set up the scene? What's happening right before?
So the four men have just met to talk about this diplomatic thing that's going on. The whole reason the ladies are here, and the entire scene, the king's doing the thing, talking with the princess, and all three of the other boys are like, look at that girl over there. She's so pretty. So we've been eyeing each other the entire scene, and we all leave, and I come back to ask Boyette who that lady is.
Well, wonderful. This is Steely Schmid and Jago Mystic doing a scene from Young Austin Shakespeare's production of Love's Labor Lost.
I beseech you a word. What is she in the white?
A woman sometimes, and you saw her in the light.
Perchance the light in light. I desire her name.
She hath but one for herself. To desire that were a shame.
Pray you, sir, whose daughter?
Good sir, be not offended. She is an heir of Falconbridge.
She is a most sweet lady.
Aye, verily. Yea, verily. Well, that was great. Thank you. So, Nancy, are there any, we're still back and forth with COVID-19. Are there any COVID restrictions or COVID mitigation that audiences should be aware of?
No. And audiences can look to do what's comfortable for them. We, because it's an outdoor space, we have that benefit, right? Mm-hmm. To that. So we're able to say, you know, what the city is doing. So masks are optional. And certainly feel free to wear your mask, but you know, no need to show vaccination, no need to wear a mask. So that's not a problem at all. The seating is reserved. So should you want to buy a ticket, you do get to choose where you sit, and you know, you can choose for your comfort how close to people.
Wonderful. And where do they go to get information about the show?
Well, I would say going to austinshakespeare.org. If you go to their website, and if you do that, you'll see a section that has the show information.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to it. When do you open and when do you close?
When do we open, Jay Gone Steely?
Open today.
Yeah, tonight is a big night.
Okay, we should say that we're pre-recording this. So by the time our audiences are listening to it, they will have opened already.
Oh, okay. So let's clarify.
No,
so
you're good. That's good.
Yeah. So we open Friday the 17th, mm-hmm. which for us, it, you know, we traveled back in time.
It's tonight.
And in our time machine mm-hmm. is tonight.
And how long do you play? How long do folks have to go see it?
How long, Jake Gostili, do you remember the date? I want to make sure they know.
It's next Sunday. I looked the other day. I think it's
the 26th.
The 26th.
So the chances people do have, if they would love to come out, would be the through the 26th, Thursday through Sunday.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, before we say goodbye to you, I want to give, I'll start with you, Jago. What do you, you're obviously doing theater. I'm assuming you're in high school?
Yep.
What grade are you going into?
I'm going into 11th grade.
11th grade. You are a rising junior.
Yes.
That sounds so official.
Do you want to pursue a theater career or more education in theater once you leave high school?
I'm not positive. I know I want to keep doing theater, but I don't know if I want to like pursue it extremely, you know?
You could exit pursued by a theater degree. And what about you, Steely? What grade are you in now? What are you going into?
I just finished eighth grade.
So
I'm going in to be a freshman in high school.
Wow. That is kind of exciting. That was an exciting time for me, which is that happened to me like 5 years ago. So I'm just slightly older than you. Well, so do you think that you're going to continue pursuing an education in theater?
I would love to. I love performing theater. It really, if it's a time that allows it. During high school, I will most certainly keep doing it. I would love to keep doing it as much as possible.
Awesome. Well, we love I want to give I'll start with you, Jago. What do you, you're obviously doing theater. I'm assuming you're in high school?
Yep.
What grade are you going into?
I'm going into 11th grade.
11th grade. You are a rising junior.
Yes.
That sounds so official.
Do you want to pursue a theater career or more education in theater once you leave high school?
I'm not positive. I know I want to keep doing theater, but I don't know if I want to like pursue it extremely, you know?
You could exit pursued by a theater degree. And what about you, Steely? What grade are you in now? What are you going into?
I just finished eighth grade. So I'm going in to be a freshman in high school.
Wow. That is kind of exciting. That was an exciting time for me, which is that happened to me like 5 years ago. So I'm just slightly older than you. Well, so do you think that you're going to continue pursuing an education in theater?
I would love to. I love performing theater. It really, if it's a time that allows it. During high school, I will most certainly keep doing it. I would love to keep doing it as much as possible.
Awesome. Well, we love it when we have younger folks on that are starting out their lives. And I always recommend theater. And if you do decide that you want to continue like further education in theater, just make sure that you learn everything there is to know from not only acting, but the technical side, dancing, singing, everything.
Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you for that. We have this wonderful and passionate theater students in this program. And really one of our missions, Lisa, is to feed that theater community in Austin. Yeah, yep. Get these people ready to rock so that they really feed our wonderful theater community here in Austin.
Great. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for coming on. Best of luck with your opening tonight.
Thank you.
When this actually airs, we'll be able to talk about whether it was a successful opening or not, because we're going back in time.
I love it.
All right. Enjoy, folks.
Thank you.
That was Nancy Owens, Jago Mystic, and Steely Schmidt of Austin Shakespeare's Young Shakespeare production of Love's Labor's Lost, playing now through June 26th at the Curtain Theater. For more information, austinshakespeare.org.
All these rich people with all their fancy schools, they make the law.
Okay, we just have enough time to say goodbye. Once again, Texas Music Mixtape is not happening today, or probably ever again in this time slot. We're fortunate enough to have Tracy Schultz coming in with the Tracy's Magic Musical Mixtape. Yeah. He's coming in.
Sure.
And Patty Neff Tiven, thank you for co-hosting. This was fun.
Thank you. It was fun.
Well, okay. Well, anything else you want to say to our audience before we leave? Any words of wisdom?
I didn't curse. That's my word of wisdom.
There you go.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And keeping with our tradition of gay musicals, here's Chorus Line. For however much you're allowed to listen to it.
5, 6, 7, 8. A one chain.